Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Can you please give a high five to the person seated right next to you and tell that person, I'm so glad you are here this afternoon. All right. It's great to be back. I want to appreciate Pastor Keen for preaching here last week. As many of you know, we have embarked in a series called 10 Perfect Law, Perfect Love. We are actually in our fourth week today. We are basically looking at the Ten Commandments, okay? But before that, let me just say something. The reason why I wasn't here last week was because I joined 35 of our students in Cebu for the Every Nation Campus, Visayas and Mindanao Regional Conference. We had such a great time, and it was a powerful time. We had 35 delegates from Victory Dumaguete, okay? If you're one of those delegates, can you wave your hand for a while? Palang-palang yung mga delegates natin. There they are. I tell you what, you know, I was there. I was present in that conference, and I really believe that, you know, Visayas and Mindanao will never be the same, all right? We are discipling the future leaders in this region, amen? Okay, and after which, we've joined Victory Cebu in their worship service. I don't have the picture right there, but I was invited to minister in one of their services. And after that, my wife and I went to Manila to join my sister in her graduation. My sister just graduated in UST. She is a special awardee, okay? She was given a service award. Parang ako lang, alam mo, may mga award nung bata ako. But anyway, can I honestly say that, you know what, sometimes life can be busy. You know, your life could be busy. Kaya nga ako, kinaos ko yung misis ko. Sabi ko parang, hindi ko yata kayang hawakang dalawang trabaho, magpastor at magartista. Diba? So, yung higher calling na lang, magpastor na lang. Tama po ba? Alright. Look at the person beside you for all. Mukha ba artista? Mukha artista? Pwede. Alright, sabi mo, mukha kang artista. Kontrabida nga lang. Okay, let me just start this out by saying something for a while. You know what, I feel like it's not normal. Okay, for us to proceed or, you know, for us to pretend as if everything is okay. Okay, for us to go on with life as if there's nothing, you know, that's happening in the other side of the world. I think a lot of you know what I'm talking about. As many of you know, the Golden State Warriors are just one win away to becoming the 2016 NBA champions. All right? There's no hate message here. Okay, just pure compassion. All right, pure compassion. Again, like what I told you last year, okay, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Okay, and alam niyo na sa Bible yun. Okay, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. But anyway, there's actually a reason I didn't just insert that. It's because I want to tee off from that. Here's what we're going to do here this afternoon. You know, we're looking at the perfect law and perfect love. And the past three Sundays, we've been looking at this in an expository way. We're basically getting the text and we're unpacking it for everyone, and it has been a great help for us. But this afternoon, this is quite different because, number one, this is going to be a simple message. And secondly, I want us to understand this. At the moment, while I was looking into this commandment, at the moment, I feel like the best way to explain this is to allude on a certain thing, and that is basketball. Okay, and it's not because, you know what, basketball is in my heart right now. It's just that I realize the best way to explain the fourth commandment at the moment, for me, okay, for me to unpack this to you is to allude to basketball for that matter. Who am I here? You love playing basketball. Can you see your hand for a while? Okay, love. Okay. Who am I here seated right next to a potential basketball player? Potential basketball player. You know, my brothers and I, just imagine there's three of us who are guys. Okay, so we grew up a little rough at home. Okay, you have siblings who are all guys. Di ba? Puro lalaki yung mga kapatid mo. Di ba? Minsan magulo, alam mo yun, yung mga maong kung saan-saan nakalagay. But anyway, so because it's just all guys in our home, so basically we grew up watching sports and playing sports. Of course, it's not obvious. Okay, that's understandable. But anyway, I just told you, we grew up playing and watching sports. I'm not saying we're good at it, okay? My brother was actually an MVP in basketball, our eldest brother. It's just that, you know, he did grow up. So, height is might, okay, in basketball. But anyway, we grew up watching basketball, and I hope you don't look at me as someone who's really good playing basketball because I played street basketball. That's a lot different. It's 60% play and 40% trash talking, okay? But that was the past, of course, okay? So, well, of course, in terms of the ability to play basketball or the skill of playing basketball, it depends on whom you compare me with, okay? If you compare me to Ronel and Kiko, di wala ako, walang kwenta ako. Walang kwentang player ako pag kinumpare mo kay Ronel at Kiko. Okay, silang dalawa lang kailan lang mag-score ng 100 points each in 10 minutes, okay? Anyway, So much for that. You know, in basketball, there's one crucial aspect of the game, which is a game changer. Whenever players and coaches would do this, it has the potential to change the pace of the game or the environment of the game. All right, so I have a picture here of this guy. His name is Kobe Bryant. He's surrounded by four guys. Can you imagine this? Whenever you're swarmed with a lot of people guarding you, you guys know this, unless you watch Barbie when you were kids. Anyway, when you're swarmed with all hands, you're not flying in your face and everything. And sometimes when this happens to me, I am in a panic mode. Okay, because you know you can't see anything, you can't see your teammate. You have an option for you to get out of this scuffle, for that matter. And for you to be able to get out of these kinds of situations, it's basically for you to call a timeout. It's basically for you to call a timeout. As a player, as a basketball player, not me, but for basketball players, as basketball players, they have the choice to call a timeout whenever things are becoming rough against them. I have a point here. This is not all about basketball. Okay, we're going to get into the Bible later, okay? So please don't accuse me of anything. But anyway, they have the choice to call a timeout. Now look at this one. In the arena of sports, whenever an athlete or a coach would call for a timeout, it's actually an opportunity for them to do so many things. Number one, it's actually an opportunity for them to rest, just like this man right here. His name's LeBron James, probably, arguably, one of the greatest of all time. Okay, I cannot deny that fact. Okay, I love the guy. You have the opportunity to rest. Meaning to say, whenever your team would call for a timeout, an athlete, okay, will have the opportunity to catch his breath. Okay, instead of running for the next 48 minutes, they would have a time to just slow down and catch their breath and rest for a while. Not just that, whenever an athlete or a coach would call for a timeout, they don't just get rest, but they also have the opportunity to basically regroup themselves as a team. They have the opportunity to come together and huddle as a group. And as they huddle as a group, they're receiving clear instructions from their coach or from their team captain. All right? Not just that, you know, timeouts do not just give them the opportunity to rest and regroup. Timeouts would also give them the opportunity to what? To replenish themselves, okay? To replenish themselves, you know, because you would lose a lot of fluid while playing basketball or any kinds of sports, especially contact sports for that matter. So basically, you know, whenever you would call a timeout in any sport, okay, who may have played at least one sport ever in your life? Okay, see your hand for a while. It could be volleyball, it could be softball, it could be baseball, soccer, football. Okay, of course, Jackstone is excluded. That's a different kind of sports. But anyway, a timeout would basically give a team the opportunity to rest, to regroup, and to replenish themselves. Now, why in the world are we talking about all of these things? Okay, why does it sound like, you know what, the pastor of Victory has suddenly become a sports analyst or stuff like that? Now look at this one. There's a point as to why we're talking about this. I want us to understand that this is what we're going to talk about here this afternoon. We're going to talk about rest. Tell the person beside you for a while, you need to rest. Rest lang, hindi rest in peace. Rest lang po, okay? That is what we're going to talk about here today. That is basically the essence of the fourth commandment. This afternoon, we're going to talk about the Sabbath rest. Okay? Now, what we're going to do here is that we're going to allude to the sports, and later on, whenever I say timeout, I'm basically pertaining to Sabbath rest, or rest for that matter, just for the sake of our discussion. Okay? If you have joined us for the past, I don't know, 3 Sundays, you know for a fact that, you know, we started this off by Tom preaching about, you know, us basically worshiping the one true God. And after that, we've started talking about the second commandment, which basically supports the first commandment, because the second commandment talks about us, what? Not what? Having an idol in our lives. Okay? Idolatry, which is, you know, basically rooted in God's jealousy over us. We actually said 2 weeks ago that, you know, whenever we start talking about idolatry, we're not just talking about the physical images. We're not just talking about bad things, because a good thing, when elevated to become an ultimate thing, could become an idol. And that, in a sense, could become idolatry for that matter. And after that, you know, we started talking about profanity. The third commandment, not using God's name in vain. Meaning, saying the vein there is not your veins. Okay, the vein there simply means what? Worthless way. So meaning to say, it gives us a picture that as God's children, as Christians, we are carriers of God's name. That's why we're called Christians in the first place. We're carriers of God's name. So meaning to say, wherever you go, in your classroom, in the workplace, at home, you are basically the representative of God the Father. So the question for us in that aspect is this one. Are we representing God in the most honorable way? Are we representing God in the most honorable way? Not just in our speech, but even also in our deeds. The fourth commandment actually talks about the Sabbath rest. And I want to read this for all of us here this afternoon. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. It says here, look at this one. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. Verse 11, for in 6 days, Bible says, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Then it says here, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. All right? Now, here's something that we have to talk about first. Now, this verse right here talks about the Sabbath day. All right? Now, we are not going to discuss whether it has to be on a Saturday, on a Sunday, or a Friday. As much as we are not going to discuss if Christmas Day really falls on December 25. All right? Here's what I want us to understand here as we start, as we get this rolling. As a people of the new covenant, who are those people? People of the new covenant. We are those people. As people of the new covenant, I want us to understand this. This is one of the verses in the Bible that you have to read in what? In a lens of the gospel. So meaning to say, I want us to understand that this text was written a long time ago. I'm not saying that this is irrelevant. But I want us to understand this. A lot of times, we would just get a text without understanding its context, and we would start applying it in our lives. Now, I tell you what. If you would try to do that with this commandment right here, we will basically fall short. You know why? Because if you would look at the provision of the Old Testament regarding Sabbath, it is actually a difficult one to do. In fact, one of the provisions of observing the Sabbath day is this one. The law would basically explain that during Sabbath day, you are not supposed to leave your house away within the diameter of 3,000 feet. So, ibig sabihin, whenever you step out of your house, you should not go beyond 3,000 feet. Another thing is this one, because of our nature to work, okay, there's also a provision that you're not even supposed to be carrying needles with you. Because if you would carry needles with you, you might be tempted to sew something and start working. So meaning to say, my point here is this one. I'm not saying that this is an obscure verse, but I want us to look at this as people of the new covenant. Meaning to say, as much as these verses mean something to them, these verses would also mean something in our generation right now. As God's chosen people, recipients of His grace, mercy, and love. Right? We have to put on our gospel lens whenever we would look at this one. We are not discounting this text right here. But this is a good practice. Whenever you read a certain text, especially in the Old Testament, you have to understand that the essence of the text is a lot better to look into rather than the letters of the law. The essence of the law, you look at the essence of the law and not just the letters of the law. So what we're going to do here this afternoon is this one. We're looking at something, okay, we're looking at something that is relevant in their time. Okay, that has a meaning in their time, but that doesn't mean this is not relevant in our generation right now. This could simply mean that this might be different in application in our generation right now. Okay, whenever you look at Exodus chapter 20. Now, to get this started, let me try to define what Sabbath is. You know what? I don't want to beat around the bush and try to look for any other definition for this one. Technically, whenever you say Sabbath, it simply means rest. Okay? Whenever you look at your Bible, you read the word Sabbath, it simply means that, you know what, it is basically rest. Here's the first question. Why in the world is this given to the Israelite as the fourth commandment? I mean, why do you have to tell people to rest, Lord? I don't know if you've ever had that thought. You know, I could come into a point wherein I would start asking God, why do you have to command your people to rest? Because people would normally rest. Now, I want us to understand this. God gave this commandment to a group of people who were slaves in Egypt. When they were slaves in Egypt, there were two things that they cannot do freely, and that was to what? To worship and to rest. So meaning to say, this is basically a provision of God's grace for them, that God would want them to experience what rest really means, or what worship basically is all about. Now it says, you remember the Sabbath day. If I said a while ago that Sabbath means rest, all right, can everybody say rest?
Rest.
Okay, please don't rest. Ha? May iba sa inyo gusto na mag-rest. Mamaya na lang, tapusin muna natin to. Okay lang po? Okay, tell the person beside you farewell,
don't sleep.
Okay, very good. Now, it says here, here's the provision of the fourth commandment. It says here, Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day. Everybody knows what remember means. Meaning to say, you should not forget about it. Tama po ba? You should not forget about it. So meaning to say, if you would try to look at this verse, it simply means something like this one. You could supply your name and you could actually say, do not forget to rest. Remember the Sabbath day simply means, Alzen Joan, do not forget to rest. Are you folks catching this? Kiko, do not forget to rest. Charmaine, do not forget to rest. It's basically as simple as that. Nothing more, nothing less. Okay, nothing more, nothing less. So it means God is telling us to rest. Now, here's the question for all of us. Do you think that God is honored when you start resting? The answer there is an absolute yes. Our problem is sometimes we think we feel a lot holier when we are busy with so many things. But the truth is, you are honoring God when you are resting the same way when you are doing something for Him. If you're someone here who knows how to fight for your day off, who knows how to fight for your devotions, who knows how to fight for your quiet time, guess what? You're basically observing the Sabbath for that matter. Whenever you look at your work week, whenever you look at your schedule, okay, whether you are a student or you are a working professional, whatever it is that you're doing in your life right now, where is that designated time or day that you have to just worship God alone? To just commune Him for that matter. I told you a while ago that, you know what, a timeout in the arena of sports would mean rest, regrouping, and basically, you know what, replenishing yourself. And that is what I want us to get into here this afternoon. I want us to understand this. You know what, timeouts basically are things that we need to do in our life. We need to constantly call for a timeout. Tell the person beside you for a while. You need to constantly call for a timeout. As God's children, okay, we need to constantly call for a timeout. What am I talking about? Look at this one. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, look at this one, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let me be very forward and simple here. Okay, look at this one. If God Himself rested, why shouldn't we? If God Himself rested on the seventh day, why shouldn't we? Did God rest because He was tired? I don't think so. Do you think God gets tired? If God easily gets tired, He should have given up on all of us. Nakakapagod kaya tayong mahalin? Tigas kaya ng ulo natin? So it gives us a picture that the God that we worship here, He never gets tired. He never gets tired of lavishing us with His love. But even with that personality, the Bible says on the seventh day, He rested. If God rested, then why shouldn't we? If you would try to understand this, you would come to understand that, you know what, God started creating everything in 6 days. What was He doing in the seventh day? What was He doing in the seventh day? Was He just snoring or something like that? No. Sabbath there on the seventh day was basically what? God was there and He was enjoying His creation. Now, I want us to understand this. If God carved out a time to enjoy His creation, then don't you think it is incumbent upon us, His creation, to carve out a time to just enjoy Him? Right. To have a time when we're going to fight for it, to just basically enjoy Him. Sundays is one of those days. I hope and pray that, you know what, you didn't drug yourself to church. Do you folks realize that there is an opportunity for us, a privilege for us, to come together as a church community and worship God for who He is? The Israelites during their time didn't really have that opportunity. Exodus chapter 20, verses 9 to 10, it says here, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Look at this one. But the seventh day, can everybody say seventh day? Now, I don't know what that seventh day is for you. I don't know if it's a Sunday or a Monday. I don't know. But it says here, on the seventh day, Bible says, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter. Now, like what I told you a while ago, you get the what? You get the essence of the scripture. So if you would look at the scripture squarely, there's a principle here that you would come to understand. If you learn to embrace this principle, this will bring about blessing in your life. Just like the principle of tithing. Just like the principle of sowing and... Do you folks realize that there are a lot of non-Christian organizations out there who are basically working on that principle, and all the more they are blessed? Aren't you fascinated with the fact that the reason why a lot of nations or non-Christian nations are prospering, if you look at the level of giving of those nations, is because they have learned how to sow. And as a nation right now in the Philippines, one of the reasons why we are prospering as a nation is because for the longest time, we've never learned how to sow seeds. And right now, as a nation, we're starting to what? To basically sow seeds in other nations. And those principles are universal. And one of those principles that's universal that will bring about blessing to all of us is this one. That principle is called 1 in 7. 1 in 7. What does it mean? It simply means if LeBron James knows how to rest, then it gives you a picture that you ought to rest also. Ladies and gentlemen, even if you call yourself a superman, God has designed you to get tired for you to rest at a certain day in your life. I want us to understand is the principle of 1 in 7 is very simple. If you want to function well in the next 6 days, you have to do something on the first day. A lot of times, I want you to catch this. If you would go home later, get a band paper or a manila paper or whatever, bring out your pen, and you would try to make a lot of the foolish decisions that you've done in your life, the reckless decisions that you've done, guess what? You would come to understand that you have done all of those crazy things out of a restless heart. A lot of times when your hearts are restless, you make reckless decisions. If you don't know how to carve out and fight for your time with God, guess what? You will always carry with you a restless heart. That is why God is basically telling us to basically keep the Sabbath for that matter. If you want the next 6 days to be blessed, learn to honor the Sabbath. Learn to honor your time with God. In verse 10, look at this one. It says here, the seventh day is a Sabbath. Guess what? It says here, it's a Sabbath to the Lord. Don't you think it's quite amusing that God could have just said, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, and just end that with a period. But it's simply telling all of us that the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord, meaning to say, you give it to someone. It gives us a picture, friends, that your Sabbath, your rest days, your day offs are basically not just laundry day, they are worship day. Oftentimes, we feel like, you know, it's just an errands day. Whenever you're given the opportunity by your employers or the company to rest or your businesses for you to rest, what do? You know, sometimes we try to squeeze in so many things to get things done. Look at this one. I want you to catch this. Aren't you wondering why you cannot seem to get things done even if you're squeezing so much in your time? It's because you don't know how to rest. The reason why you don't know how to rest is simply because it is a faith issue. You cannot trust God that God will accomplish things for you. I cannot play God over my work. Even if I feel like 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. is so much kulang, even if I feel like there's like tons of papers that needs to be done, and I cannot accomplish everything in one day, guess what? At the end of the day, God is still God. God can still work in my midst. At the end of the day, all I have to do is enjoy the relationship that I have around me. Because God, at the end of the day, will basically make things, He makes things grow. He basically makes things grow for that matter. I told you a while ago that, you know, it is not just a laundry day. Let me just qualify that for a while. I'm not saying that you don't do your laundry on your day off. Okay? Kasi pag hindi mo po ginawa yung laundry mo on your day off, sure na sure ako, after 2 weeks, wala ka na masusuot. What I'm trying to explain or encourage all of us here is this one. As much as you could carve out time to do your laundry, to do whatever bills, payments that you need to do, you make it a point that you always have a good and ample amount of time for the Lord. I want to show everyone, or I want to share the story of a restaurant chain in the U.S. I think not too many of you are familiar with this one because they haven't branched out of the U.S., I think. But this store has been operating since 1946. I'm talking about Chick-fil-A. We are familiar with Chick-fil-A. Okay, very good. Anyone else? You're familiar with Chick-fil-A? Look at this one. The amazing thing about Chick-fil-A is they are counterculturing something in their generation. You know, the amazing thing about this is this one. The owners of these restaurant chains are Christians. Okay, the board are Christians. The workers are Christians. Whenever you step into a Chick-fil-A, they're playing worship songs. Now, guess what? They did something that is extraordinary or unheard of in our time right now. Every single Sunday, they close down all of their stores nationwide. Now, one can honestly say that in a business perspective, that is not a good decision. Why not close on a Wednesday? Why not close on a Thursday? Of all days that you have to close on a Sunday. That's the time families go out and look for restaurants. But their principle was very simple. They basically said, we want to honor, I'm not just saying that it has to be Sunday, it's just their conviction. They're just basically saying, we want to honor the Sabbath of our people, of our employees. We don't want people working with us and then their marriages are falling apart because they don't have time for their family. We want every single employee that we have to just attend church together with their families and enjoy their family day. They can go out and eat at McDonald's or wherever. Basta on a Sunday, ay hindi pala basta kasi mga Americans to. As long as on a Sunday, we are closed for that matter. In a business perspective, that is poor decision. But ladies and gentlemen, their revenues is greater than that of KFC. You honor the Sabbath. You learn how to rest. God creates miracles for you. God basically creates breakthroughs for all of us. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. It says here, by the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, Bible says, He rested from all His work. Look at this one. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it what? And made it holy. You guys know this. What does holy mean? It simply means set apart. It simply means set apart. Ladies and gentlemen, here's my question for everyone. Do you have a set apart time for God? Do you have a time wherein you just look at something and you feel like, man, this is non-negotiable. I had a friend, he's from Korea, and he used to attend Victory Dumaguete back in the days. Okay, his name is Scott. Myung is different, okay? So, you know, Scott, this guy, you know, we would hang out together. You know, we would eat Korean ice cream. You know, whenever the clock strikes at 10:30 in the evening, for some reason, I would look at him and he's nowhere to be found. Then sometimes after 30 minutes or 1 hour, he comes back. I was like, where in the world have you been? He said, 10:30 is my schedule with God. I was like, oh my goodness. Sobrang na-convict ako, gusto ko umuwi. Sabi ko, sorry, it's 12. You know, I need to go home. Parang Cinderella, no? A set apart time for God. Eh, mambihira, pag nagyayang yung barkada natin, isang text lang, bilis mo magbihis. Pero mag-church kaninang umaga. But ang dami natin ngayon alas 4? Baka iba sa inyo 10 a.m. yan, ha? And I'm glad, you know, that God is growing this 4 p.m. service. You know, based on our survey, the 4 p.m. service is the most enthusiastic crowd. That's just to make you excited. I hope and pray that, you know what, we will be a group of people who would learn how to fight for our times with God. You know, it's just crazy that, you know, sometimes when I ask people to invest, for example, I ask someone, you know what, why didn't you buy this book? There's a good Christian book that I can tell you. And then they would tell me, you know, I don't have money. Baka pwede mong bilhin for me. So, ibig sabihin, I'll purchase it for him. I was like thinking, sa pambira, parang napapansin ko, every other week, meron kang bagong damit. Tapos pagkadating na sa mga investment for your spirituality, hindi ka makapag-invest. At the end of the day, this will bring us back to the second commandment. This will bring us back to idolatry. You know, sometimes we have a lot of excuses. You know, why we cannot have our quiet time. Minsan gusto natin na magka-quiet time lang ako pag maganda yung Bible ko, yung thin line. Tapos hindi mo mabuksan-buksan kasi sobrang ganda. I had friends who are like that growing up in this ministry. Yung thin line, sobrang nipis na Bible, color silver yung gilid, tag 2,000 pesos yung isa. So ayaw niya tuloy buksan kasi sobrang ganda. Sabi ko, nako, ewan ko sa'yo. Set apart time for God, for that matter. When you have a power bank, you always bring a power bank with you. You know, sometimes, you know, cell phones are a necessity together with that is a power bank. It's something like that you need to recharge at a certain time of the week. Listen, I am not saying that you only commune with God once a week. You do that every single day. But there are times where you need to call a time out. There are days where you have to regularly call a time out, and that is to replenish your soul. Okay, that is basically for you to talk to God for that matter. One of the amazing things about a timeout, like what I told you a while ago, is that it's a crucial decision that, you know, coaches or athletes would make. And I want us to catch this for a while. Timeouts help us create momentum. Whenever you call a timeout, timeout or time purse, whatever you want to call it, it creates momentum. Look at this one. Have you ever tried playing a basketball wherein your opponent is just so good? You know, and it would always result to a blowout score just like this one right here. Your opponents are 75 and you are just 40. Okay, I mean, this would always happen to me if I go against Kiko. Okay, it's always me 40, siya laging 75. Okay, 70, yung team niya 75. 70 ka niya, 5 lang sa rest of the team. 1-1 score each. Now, whenever these things happen, the team would call for a timeout. For what? To break the opposition's momentum and to create momentum for my team. I want us to catch this. Maybe for some of you here, you need to call a timeout simply because you have lost steam or you have lost momentum in your Christian walk. Maybe for some of you, you're thinking, man, why is it that, you know, I am a Christian and I still feel so defeated? If there's sickness here, I failed in my grade, I was demoted and stuff like that. These are the times that needs to call for a timeout. And try to reassess your heart. Listen, it is important for you to lay it down before God. Lord, why is this happening? And listen keenly to God. Why? Because if you don't do that and you continue with your Christian walk, you might end up becoming bitter against God. For some of you here, you need to call a timeout just to break the monotony in your life. You know, for some of us here, just waking up every day and we're like drugging ourselves. We're like thinking, man, Lord, is there anything new in my life? Sometimes we need to just rest in the presence of God and just listen to Him and try to contemplate as to whatever it is that He has for you. Luke chapter 5, verse 16 says here, He would withdraw to desolate places and pray. You folks catch that? Jesus Himself would withdraw. Can everybody say withdraw? He would often withdraw from the crowd. I mean, wherever He would go, crowds would just follow Him. the Bible is very clear. He would often withdraw and he would what? Start communing with God. Guess what? I want you to catch this. If Jesus didn't call a timeout in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wouldn't have gone to have himself crucified. When he called for a timeout and just have an alone time with God, he was talking with God, Lord, take this cup away from me, God. But Lord, not my will. Let your will be done. Because of the timeout, because of that rest with God, he made up his mind, I'm going to go out there and do the purpose for which you've sent me here. Timeouts are crucial for that matter. It breaks the monotony. It breaks the gray areas that you are experiencing. Some of us here are feeling insecure. You feel like, you know, you don't have any purpose in life. You know, some of us here, you're looking at all of your former friends, your high school friends on Facebook, and you're looking at them and they're becoming so successful. You're feeling so insecure. Guess what? Those things call for a timeout. And try to assess your life. What really matters in your life? Is it riches or is it God's presence? Break the momentum or create momentum for that matter. Timeouts are also very important to haggle with our teammates. You know, this is a timeout. I don't know what your work is. I don't know what your course is. Maybe for some of you, you're anxious about what you're going to do next. Maybe there's politics in the workplace. That's why you need to huddle together, just like this team right here. You need to huddle together and you do what? To spur each other, to listen keenly to what your friends is telling you in a church community setting. I don't believe in non-church Christianity. You just wouldn't grow. You need people who would spur you and cause you to grow in your relationship with God. Another thing that I want us to understand about timeouts are this one. You know, sometimes you cannot call a timeout for yourself. I don't know if you've ever felt that way before. You feel like you need to go on and go on because if you cannot go on, you cannot provide for your family. You feel like, if I stop now, sayang naman yung ma-earn ko. Guess what? If you don't know how to call a timeout, guess what? God will call a timeout for you. Sometimes coaches would do that. Sometimes coaches have the wisdom in thinking, man, my player is in trouble. My player needs more directives. My player needs instruction. That's why even if you're in the middle of the game, you're eager to do whatever it is that even God has called you to do, God will call a timeout. Sometimes those timeouts would frustrate you. Why did you call for a timeout? Why is this happening in my life? Guess what? Sometimes there are delays that are happening in your life and God is doing that purposefully. He's doing that on purpose for you to learn how to listen, because if you go on, you might fall off the ravine. I don't know with you, but sometimes delays are orchestrated by God. Because our impatience sometimes will destroy us. Or our impatience will cause us to sin. Psalm 23 verse 3 says here, He makes me lie down in what? In green pastures. Guess what, friends? Listen. People of God, this is God's promise for you. He will make you lie down in green pastures. It doesn't say He will make you lie down in putik. In a mad field place. No, in green pastures. What is God telling us here? He's orchestrating something for you that you're going to lie down in prosperity. You're going to lie down in good health, in good relationships around you. But you have to learn to what? If you're lying down, what are you doing? You're basically resting. You have to learn to trust Him. You have to learn to trust Him for that matter. Jesus is like a coach. When he started looking at his disciples and he's looking at them, man, these guys need a timeout. Look what he did. Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Let's get away from the crowds for a while to rest. He would look at them, man, you guys are doing so many great things for God. Who of you love doing great things for the Lord? Come on. I mean, I salute all of our leaders and volunteers in this ministry. I just salute every single leaders and volunteers in this ministry. And I thank God for their life. I mean, without our leaders and volunteers here, we will not be able to pull off, you know, services here week in and week out. But at the end of the day, God will give us a discerning heart to basically tell people, hey, bro, guess what? I think it's family time tomorrow. I don't have to drag people and force people that you have to serve week in and week out. When people are enjoying the presence of their family, that's actually a good deal. Jesus was looking at his disciples and he knows for a fact that, you know, they need a timeout. And he basically called it for them. Here's another thing that I want us to understand. If you love playing basketball, there's two kinds of timeouts. Number one, it could either last 20 seconds, or the other one is called a full timeout, which lasts 1 minute or 60 seconds. So it's either 20 seconds or 60 seconds. Guess what? Timeouts are not forever. Timeouts are not forever. It has a certain time and it's going to expire. Meaning to say, whenever you have a timeout, make good use of it. When I say timeout, I'm not just saying that you have to snore for 16 hours. It's a time for you to just open up yourself before God and allow God to speak into your life, allow God to point the things in your life that doesn't honor Him. That is what a timeout is all about. And guess what? It will only last for a day, then you go ahead out there for the next 6 days. What is my point here? A timeout is not forever. Why? Because you need to get back in the game. You need to get back and do whatever it is that God has called you to do. You need to get back and do the works of God in the ministry or making disciples for that matter. Our tendency is that sometimes we are blinded by thinking that we don't need timeouts, that we don't need to rest. I want you to catch this. Look at this one. Who of you are working in a workplace? Can I see your hand for a while? You're working. You're under an employee. Can I see your hand? Come on. Just wave your hand for a while. Now look at this one. Why in the world do you need to rest? Why in the world do you need to call a timeout? 6 days a week. In any of those days, guess what? There's office politics. In one of those days, there's people who would tell you green jokes, even if you don't entertain green jokes, but it registers into your mind. In one of those days, there are people who will mock you for your Christianity. In one of those days, there will be guys, married people for that matter, who would go to you or offer something to you. And it would register into your mind. If you don't know how to take a day off and rest in the presence of God, guess what? Ooh, you might come into a point where you're going to give in. A Sabbath rest is like a balm for your soul. Every single day, your soul is tormented with so many things. Your emotion basically is tormented. Words spoken to you will torment you. That's why you have to carve out a time where you just basically lay down before God and show God everything. Just lay down before the table. Lord, this is what has happened to me during the week. And just go ahead and receive ministry from God. Receive His grace and receive His mercy for that matter. I was thinking about this just to end, you know, this preaching about Sabbath. Mommy, or you have a friend who is not a Christian yet. Can I see your hand for a while? You have friends who are not Christians. I think all of us have friends who are not Christians. Do you know what's the difference between you and them? Aside from the fact that you're more good looking. Do you folks realize that to a certain extent, we have the same problems? You ask what their problem is. Bro, anong problema mo? Bro, may problema ako sa pera. Tinitingnan mo yung sarili mo, may problema rin ako sa pera. You ask them, anong problema? Bro, nag-away kami sa bahay. Tinitingnan mo yung sarili mo, may away din kami sa bahay. At the end of the day, we share the same problem. You know what's the difference? The difference is, they don't have Jesus, you have Jesus. There's a difference. At the end of the day, they carry with them their problems. The next day, they wake up, the problem is still there. For you, you carry the problem. The next day, the problem could still be there. But guess what? You have hope and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the big difference. Hindi useless yung tears ko pagka-Christian ako. If I'm not a Christian, I would cry and I would just cry. I was just crying in vain. But when I'm a Christian, I started crying about my problems. I know that I'm crying it and I'm crying it out to God. And God is basically listening to me. Let me just conclude this with this one now. What is the Sabbath? What is the Sabbath? It is us coming to church. Is it, you know, carving out a day off? True. Those could be your Sabbath. But like what I told you a while ago, we are people of the new covenant. So meaning to say, the Sabbath is not the day. The Sabbath is the person. At the end of the day, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that you cast all your burdens upon Him and He will give you rest.